Now again tonight we're glad to see all that have come to the meeting. We make everyone very welcome in the Lord's name and thank you for coming tonight. And we remind you of the next two nights also in the Lord's will. Thursday and Friday of this week at 8 o'clock we're here. And so if you're able to come again and encourage others to come as well, we'll be glad to see you. Now, last evening we were thinking of some Old Testament characters in relation to the fact that they were all shepherds. Now, this evening I want to think of some New Testament characters. And we want to read in Luke's Gospel and chapter 1. Luke's Gospel and chapter 1, please. And reading at verse 5. Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." Now turn to chapter 2, please. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and verse 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel.'" Verse 36, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem." Now that's all we want to read tonight with the Lord's blessing. Now we have read tonight about five, concerning five different people. We have read firstly in chapter 1, or rather four different people. We have read about Zacharias and Elizabeth in chapter 1. And then we have read about Simeon and Anna, a woman called Anna. Now, it's good to remember that when the Lord Jesus came the first time, in his first advent, coming into this world, there were a group of people that were looking for him. Sometimes we overlook that, as it were. But there was a band, a company, who were looking for Christ in his first advent. Now, you could add to that list Joseph of Arimathea. He also waited for the kingdom of God. So it's good tonight to know that in every age, in every dispensation, there has always been a true witness. And here was a company that were looking for him in his first coming. Now tonight, we are amongst those who are looking for his second coming. And it's good tonight to be amongst a company that are looking for that blessed hope, as Paul says to Titus, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. To be looking for him. You know, our Bible says, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9 says, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So I want you to think, first of all, that we have read about people tonight who were looking for him in his first advent when he was born in Bethlehem. But we are amongst those who are looking for his second advent, his coming again. Now there is in each of these something that stands out. I want you to notice, first of all, with Zacharias and Elizabeth, it tells us they were walking. I want to emphasize that. In verse 6, it says they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And then when you come to Simeon, it's lovely to think of him, for he was waiting. Now it tells us there in chapter 2 regarding Simeon in verse 25 that here was a man who was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And that word, consolation of Israel, it really means the messianic hope. So here was a man who was waiting. Zacharias and Elizabeth were walking. Simeon was waiting. But then when you read about Anna, you could say about her, she was working. Here was this woman, aged woman, and it says of her that in verse 37, that she departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Now, if you put those three things together, the walking and the waiting and the working, and surely that's a message for us all tonight, for the one who is coming again, that we too might be walking and waiting and working for him. Now, as regards the Zacharias and Elizabeth, there are some very interesting things about them. Now, the fact is this, that here was a company of people that were walking in spite of the conditions all around. You know, when this couple were living in that day, and they were both now an aged couple, the spiritual condition of Israel was at a low ebb. There was a great barrenness and a great spiritual dearth. And yet, in spite of all that, here was a couple who were walking. Now, that should be an encouragement to us all tonight. You know, the day in which we live, in many ways, is a dark day spiritually. And we know that sadly, so many have turned away from God and the things of God and the Word of God. But let us take heart tonight that we, as His people, that even in this world, with all its difficulties, that we can still walk with God. Do you remember it says about Noah that he walked with God? It says about Enoch that he walked with God. And what a difficult day it was that they were living in. And so we have this couple who were walking in the midst of great difficulties all around. Now, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were both of the tribe of Levi. You see, a priest could marry out from any of the tribes. But it so happened that Zacharias, of course, was from the tribe of Levi, the Levitical priesthood, the priestly tribe of Levi, and it so happened that Elizabeth was one of the sons or the daughters of Aaron. So she too was from that priestly tribe of Israel, which was an added bonus. Now, Zacharias and Elizabeth, we find them here, Zacharias, in the temple. It's interesting that Luke's gospel begins here with the temple, and Luke's gospel finishes with the temple. Here in Luke chapter 1, Zacharias and the temple, there was prayer in the temple. When you go to the end of Luke chapter 24, when the Lord Jesus had gone, ascended back to heaven, it says about the disciples, the apostles, that they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And so, like two bookends, as it were, you have the temple and prayer in chapter 1, you have the temple and praise at the end of Luke's gospel in chapter 24. Zacharias was a priest. Now, you will notice it says there in verse 5, where we read first, that he was off the course of Abijah or Abijah. Now, you may ask the question, what does that mean? Well, I'll try to simplify it. You see, under the days of David, and you could read this in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, verses 1 to 6. You will read that David divided the priesthood into 24 divisions, or courses, to use another word, as is used here. And so the priesthood was divided into 24 different divisions, different courses, different companies. Well, of course, they went down to Babylon. They were taken down to Babylon. After that, by Nebuchadnezzar. And then 70 years later, they returned. Now, you would have to read in Ezra chapter 2 to discover that only four of the 24 divisions that went down into Babylon returned. That was when Zerubbabel came back in the book of Ezra. So out of those 24 divisions, only four returned. But this is the bit. They took those four divisions and they divided them into 24 and gave them the old names. So here is Zacharias, a priest of the course of Abiah, and he was serving in the temple. Now, if you take 24, and I know you're all good at arithmetic, and you multiply by 2, you're 48. So therefore, each course, each company, each division served in the temple twice a year, because they served from Sabbath to Sabbath, a week, and then another division from Sabbath to Sabbath. So 24 times, and then another 24. So priests served in the temple twice a year. But, and this is the bit where you have to just take notice, this was not an ordinary occasion for Zacharias. And I want you to notice what it says. It says that it came to pass in verse 8 that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? Well, you see, this was a special occasion. Because to burn incense before the golden altar of incense in the holy place in the temple only happened once, if once at all, in a priest's whole lifetime. At the time when Zacharias was in the temple, there were probably about 18,000 priests altogether. So to burn incense was to be chosen to do that. Because if you look at the word, I don't know what's in the margin of your Bible, but it says his lot was to burn incense. It says, it really means he was chosen by lot. So here was something that was very special. So it was a special occasion for Zacharias to be doing this. It only happened once in all his life. And as I also state again, there were many priests who went through the whole service and they never had this privilege. So it was a very special day when he was burning this incense. And then there was a very special appearing of Gabriel, the angel. Now we know it was Gabriel because it tells us that further down in verse 19. And the angel Gabriel stood by the right hand side of the altar of incense. So it was a special day in the life of Zacharias. There was a special appearing by the angel Gabriel. And then thirdly, there was a special announcement by the angel. And I want you to get this tonight. Because there was Zacharias performing this very special honor. And suddenly, Gabriel, the angel, appears. And Zacharias saw him and was troubled. And fear fell upon him. But the angel spoke. The first words that the angel spoke was, "Fear not." "Fear not, Zacharias," the angel said. Oh, how marvelous that word is tonight. I want you to think about it. "For thy prayer is heard." You say, what is special about that? Very special tonight. This was the first word from heaven for 400 years. There had not been a word from heaven to the nation, to the people, to any priest from the days of Malachi. 400 years. And the silence of 400 years was broken by the angel in the temple who said to Zacharias, "Fear not." Isn't that a tremendous thought tonight? Fear not. You know, if you read about Joseph in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse number 20, the angel said to Joseph, "Fear not to take unto thee thy wife Mary, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Fear not." You have the very same word to Mary herself in verse 30 of chapter 1. "But the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Do you remember the word from the angel to the shepherds? "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." The first word from heaven. For 400 years that came to Zacharias, "Fear not. Thy prayer is heard," the angel said. "Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John." Well, you know, what a lovely thought here. Thy prayer is heard. They had prayed so often, hadn't they? They had prayed so earnestly for a son. But here was Zacharias and Elizabeth, and they were still walking. They were walking in spite of difficulties politically. Herod, the king that we read about in verse 5, was the Herod, you remember, that killed all the young children from 2 years and under in Bethlehem and the surrounding area. Oh, I'll tell you, but they were still walking. They were walking, and we've already mentioned this, in spite of dearth nationally, in spite of the barrenness of Israel, they were still walking. They were walking in spite of disappointment personally. They had no child, but they were still walking. You see, it was the great desire of every woman, married woman in Israel, that they would bear a son. And that son might be the Messiah. And that really was something that was in the minds and hearts of Jewish women in that day. And so, in spite of the fact that they had no child, you remember Rachel away back in the book of Genesis. She said, "Give me children or I die." It's the same thought. So they were walking. You think of their integrity. I must go on. But, you know, they were righteous before God. You think of their sincerity. They sought for a child. They had prayed for this for years. And God answered their prayer. You know, tonight, maybe you've been praying for something or someone for years. Don't give up tonight. That was a great word that came to Zacharias that day. Thy prayer is heard. When Solomon prayed in the temple, the great prayer of the dedication of the temple, Solomon prayed and said, "Hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place." My dear believer tonight, let me encourage your heart that your prayer, your prayers are heard in the very throne room of God. And so they were walking. But I want to come quickly to Simeon, because he was waiting. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, or for the messianic hope. That's what it really means. He was looking for Christ to come. You see, he was one of that godly remnant in Israel, which Malachi had described 400 years before. That lovely verse in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 18. "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him of them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." What a verse that is. Malachi 3 and verse 16. You see, Simeon was amongst that group of people. "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and that thought upon his name." So here was a man, first of all, he was looking. He was looking for Christ, the messianic hope. And then he was living. My, he was living the life the Bible says about him. He was just and devout. Here was a man, Simeon. He was not living, my, for this world. He was living for the next world. This here was a man, his life was that of a spiritual, sincere man. You know, I was thinking recently again, the person who lives in time and only for time has really missed the mark. But the person who lives in time for eternity is what really counts. Here was a man who was living in time, but he wasn't just living for time. He was living for the next world. Simeon, he was looking. He was living. I want you to notice he was led. Verse 27, he came by the Spirit into the temple. He was led. Here's a man who was in touch with God, you know. Here's a man who was in tune with heaven. You know, tonight, it's a great thing to know that you and I can still be in touch with God. That we can still be in tune with heaven. By that we can still breathe out that holy name and be heard in heaven itself. Here was Simeon. So he was led. I want you just to notice here before I go on. You couldn't miss it here, the mention of the Holy Spirit. You see, it says in verse 25 that the Holy Ghost was upon him at the end of the verse. And verse 26, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. And verse 27, he came by the Spirit into the temple. There's three times in a row where you've got the mention of the Holy Spirit. Touch with God. The reality of these things. But I want to come to this tonight, which is the main part of this story. What did he do? Well, try and picture this. Simeon in the temple. Now, I know that some people say old Simeon. But the Bible doesn't say he was old. In fact, it doesn't tell us at all what age he was. Now, I have no doubt about it. He was a mature man. But it doesn't say he was old. Many people refer to him as old Simeon. But Simeon was in the temple, and Mary and Joseph with the babe, the Lord Jesus, came into the temple. Now, you've got to ask the question, why was Mary and Joseph there? Well, they were there fulfilling an Old Testament law, the Levitical law, that had to do with Mary, the law of purification, which you could read about in Leviticus chapter 12. And that simply meant that 40 days after the birth of a male child, that they were to take that babe of 40 days old to the temple and present him before the Lord. And it was also fulfilling the law of purification for Mary. So that's why Mary and Joseph were in the temple. Now look at this. He came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, it says in verse 28, then took he him up in his arms. And bless God. So Simeon lifts the babe from the arms of Mary, his mother, and lifts him up. And bless God. He's just 40 days old. You know, there are three outstanding 40-day periods in the life of the Lord Jesus. Here's the first one. The first 40 days of his life. The second outstanding 40-day period is the temptation. He was tempted 40 days in the wilderness. And then the third 40-day period that you have in his life is the 40 days after he rose again until he went back to heaven and he showed himself by many infallible proofs for 40 days. So you've got 40 days, the first 40 days of his life. You've 40 days in the wilderness, and you've 40 days in the life of Christ, from he rose till he ascended. Now, they brought him in. I love that, you know. They brought in the child Jesus. You know, tonight, I know it's a very simple thought, but when you come into the gatherings, come into the meetings, it's a good thing to bring Christ with you, to bring him in. My, his presence with you. They brought him in. And Simeon lifted him. Ah, but they brought something else. You say, what else did they bring? Well, we didn't read this, but we will read it here. In verse 24, to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. That's what they brought. They brought two little birds, nestlings, birds that hadn't even flown out of the nest. Would you say, two little birds? You see, the law had stated that a person could bring a lamb. But Mary and Joseph were so poor that they couldn't bring a lamb. They hadn't the money, the wherewithal to buy a lamb, to bring a lamb. But the law had made provision for those who were poor that they could bring two young pigeons or two young turtle doves. And so they brought these two little birds because they were so poor. You say, what were they for? Well, one of these birds was for a burnt offering, and the other was for a sin offering. Now, I want you to think of this tonight. Those two little birds speak of Christ. The burnt offering, the sin offering. But somebody says tonight, did Mary need a sin offering? Ah, that's the point, she did. You know, there are dear friends tonight in Catholicism who teach that Mary was born sinless. The Immaculate Conception. Now, Mary was not born sinless. Mary was born from Adam's fallen race like you and me. And when it came to the offering, Mary needed a sin offering like everyone else. And not only did she need a sin offering, but you will discover how that she needed a Savior. Do you remember she said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. So Mary needed a sin offering, and Mary needed a Savior. But what I want you to think about, they were carrying the babe, and they were carrying the two young birds as well. Now, as far as I know, this is the only time in Scripture where you get the type. The birds are the type. And you get the antitype, Christ, together. They were carried in together. The birds being the type of Christ in the burnt offering and the sin offering. And the babe being the antitype, the one that they spoke of. So here is the only time in our Bible that we have the type and the antitype together. Well, Simeon, he took him up. And I believe, you know, he did it reverently. He did it with great dignity, you know. Then took he him up. You know, there was people who handled the Lord when he was here in this world. And some handled him roughly. Peter says, ye have taken him by wicked hands have crucified and slain. But Simeon handled him reverently. See, John, 1 John 1 and 1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Simeon handled him. He lifted him up. Tonight, you know, you and I, it's a great thing to be able to lift him up in our worship and tell the Father what we think about his Son. My, to be taken up with Christ, to lift him up in our walk. You remember it said of Peter and John, about those that looked at them, they took note that they had been with Jesus. My, to take him up in our witness, to tell others of him, he took him up. Great thing to lift Christ up. John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. Well, Simeon not only lifted him, but Simeon is leaving. You see, Simeon had received communication. The Holy Ghost was upon him. Simeon received revelation. It was revealed unto him. Now, there's something very special. It was revealed unto him that he should not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. He gazed at Christ. And what did he say? He said, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Who did he see? He saw Christ, for Christ is salvation. And it was revealed unto him that he shouldn't see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And now he had seen the Lord's Christ. He had seen salvation. And he wanted to go. Now there's a gospel slant here. I'll tell you tonight, it's very true, the picture that we need to see salvation before we see death. And that's a picture here in relation to Simeon. He was longing to step into that other world. How lovely. He says, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Some years ago, I got a phone call one morning. A man to tell me that his mother had gone to heaven. I knew the woman so well. What a great believer she was. I said to him, she hadn't far to go. She lived so near heaven. She lived on the borders of Emmanuel's land. Simeon, to step over into the other world. But I must finish with Anna, the woman who was working. Now, there's been always great discussion as regards what age she was. Was she 84 years of age? Or was she a widow for 84 years? Well, now I know that woman folk don't like to tell their age. But, you know, there's only one woman in the Bible whose age we know. And that's Sarah. That's the only woman whose age is recorded. And she was 125 when she died. Now, what age was Anna? Well, I think she was a widow for 84 years. And she had been married for 7 years. So that would have been 91. And just giving a rough guess now, say she was married when she was 19. That leaves her at 110. Now, you could maybe juggle those figures about a wee bit. But roughly, think about it. Her age, her ancestry of the tribe of Asher. You know, there was no judge or legislator ever came from the tribe of Asher. You know, I'll tell you, here's scripture. You know, people talk about the lost 10 tribes of Israel. I don't believe a word of that. This woman was from the tribe of Asher. You see, many believe it was only Judah and Benjamin that returned. But this woman is of the tribe of Asher. So you've got her age, you've got her ancestry. You've got her anxiety. She was a widow. She had suffered loss and bereavement, even when so young. But her allegiance to the Lord, she departed not from the temple. Oh, I love that. You know, it says about her activity. There in verse 37, it says that she served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Her announcement. This is the wee bit I want you to think before we close. Picture this for a minute. Simeon has got the Lord in his arms. He's lifted him. And just as Simeon is in the middle of his praise and his thanksgiving for the Lord, Anna comes in. And in that instant, it says that she coming, verse 38, in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. She joined in the praise, as it were, and she spake of him, that's of Christ, to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Isn't that great? All them that looked for redemption, that were looking for Christ in his first coming, in his first advent. And Anna Mai comes in while Simeon holds the babe up in his arms and is in the midst of his praise, and she joins in as well. And she spake of him. Do you know what it says in John 12, 41? Isaiah saw his glory and spake of him. Anna saw him and she spake of him. I'll tell you tonight, if you get a glimpse of his glory, you could speak about nobody else. She spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And you know, you think of Hannah and Anna. Hannah, the Old Testament. Anna is Hannah without the H. Isn't that right? Both were women of prayer. Hannah, do you remember how she prayed for a son? She could say, for this child I prayed. And so both of these women, Hannah and Anna, both of them wanted a son, as it were. Godly Hannah wanted a son to present to the Lord for Samuel. And godly Anna longed to see the son that God was to send to his people. You see, both were marked by prayer and fasting and by a longing for a man child. So you have Anna working. Well, I hope we take another read at these great characters. They were looking for him, walking and waiting and working. Shall we pray? Lord, we just give thee thanks for these scriptures that we have read and these lovely characters, that not a lot is maybe written about them or said about them. And yet what is said speaks volumes to our hearts. We thank thee for a faithful band that were looking for the Lord in his first coming. And Lord, we trust that we may be amongst those who are truly waiting for him in his coming again, that we might indeed be able to walk and to wait and to work for him as days go by. We commend our ways to thee as we part in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.